We are, of course, especially blessed to have Brother Ramos with us today and his family here. And Brother Ramos is going to play. You going to play for us again this morning? Yes? Do you know Flight of the Bumblebee? Just quite. Okay, do you really? Seriously? You don't know? Okay. Just curious. It's not that funny. But we're glad that he's here with us. And not only a man of God and has a great church in Mexico, but a good personal friend. And I just appreciate him so much. We went to Bible college together. It's always good to graduate in 1983. Did you graduate 83? Is that correct? We graduated in 1983 together. And then he went to Chicago for a while, was a head of the Spanish church there with Brother Gomez's ministry in Mount Prospect Heights, northwest part of Chicago. And then God moved him to Mexico. His pastor told him, "Yeah, that's not a good idea. I don't think God wants you to go to Mexico. I want you." He was being selfish, of course. And every time I go to Mexico, I always tell Brother Ramos, "Well, Brother Gomez was right, wasn't he? Look at this poor ministry down here." He was wrong. God called him and he went to Mexico. Amen. And God has used him there to start churches, establish his work as a college. And it's just a tremendous work. And it is such encouragement to go there and see what missions dollars do and how it influences people in another country and the work there. And we appreciate Brother Ramos being with us this morning. Brother Ramos, you come. He's going to play for us and then he's going to sing.
It's been a joy to be here. Thank you for your kindness and praise you. It's been a blessing to us. And Pastor Johnson, thank you for allowing my wife to come. We were just mentioning this morning what a joy it was to be here together, and also for my children to come up and be with us a couple, just today. They're going back to college. And thank you for your support and for your prayers for our family. And really, really appreciate this church very much. It's a special joy to be here. And I mean that. Thank you for having us. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 21. If you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. We'll leave fast. Amen? Exodus, chapter 21. Please stand to your feet. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 6. Please follow as I read. The Bible says in Exodus 21, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. And if he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. His master hath given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him out unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an owl, and he shall serve him forever. I'm going to speak just a couple of moments on the subject, serving God because of love. Serving God because of love. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the privilege of being in this church, and what a beautiful spirit. Lord, I've been edified with the choir and the special and the singing and the spirit, Lord, that prevails in this place. And I pray that your Holy Spirit continue to move. Lord, as we look at these principles in this great passage of Scripture, speak to this church, speak to our lives. And we want to honor you and glorify you. Amen. You may be seated, please. Every Christian should serve God. Now, God has called some the pastor, some to be the evangelist, and some to go to the foreign field and be a pastor and evangelist. That's my philosophy. Amen. I'm a pastor in the foreign field. Amen. I'm a Mexicano. I was born there. But I believe God calls men and women to full-time service. But I also believe that God wants every Christian to serve God. Every Christian should win people to Christ. Every Christian should be involved in a ministry, should be serving the Lord, should be using his talents and using what God has given him in this life for the kingdoms of God and for the glory of God and for the cause of Jesus Christ. As you read about the Islam religion and all the terrorism that goes today is being perpetrated by that religion, you know that there's several thousand young boys or young teenagers and young girls that are in line, ready to be called to give their lives as martyrs for their devilish and satanic cause. You know, we as Christians have the truth. We as Christians know the God of gods, the true and only God. And He has given us salvation. And I believe that every Christian should be involved in serving the Lord in some capacity. Here in this passage of Scripture, we have the Old Testament principle of the law that was given, that governed how to treat servants or slaves. And in this passage of Scripture, we see here some principles that I want to share with you. There in verse 2, the Bible says, if thy by an Hebrew servant 6 years he shall serve, and the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. These are just principles. We're not under the law anymore, but these are principles that we can learn and as to how and why we should serve the Lord. Here we see that a Hebrew, if he owned a servant, the seventh year he would let him out free and give the servant a choice whether he wanted to continue serving his master or whether he wanted to go out free and be free to live his life as he would. And first of all, what we see here in verse number 5, if the servant chose to stay, the Bible says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. And we see here that the servant, because he loves his master, he's willing to become a servant forever. They would take him and take him to the elders of the city, and they would take him to a place where he would take his ear, and they would bore a hole in his ear, and he would be that master's servant for the rest of his life. And first of all, I want to share with you verse 2. The Bible says, if thou buy in Hebrew servant. You know, we are bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for our redemption. He paid for us with His only precious blood. The Bible says here that if you buy a Hebrew servant, you know what? We have a debt to pay. We see here that if this servant would say, everything I have, if he says there in verse and 5, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Listen, we have a debt to pay. We need to serve God. We will never be able to pay for what He's done for us. But we have a debt. Paul says, I am a debtor. I'm a debtor to the Jew. I'm a debtor to the Greek. We are debtors to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I honestly thank the Lord for the fact that He allowed me to be born in a home where my mom and dad raised me to love God and raised me to be a Christian. And you know, I have a debt to pay. In 1986, I went to Mexico for the first time since I was a teenager to preach for a missionary. And I preached in the city of Cuernavaca. Cuernavaca is a beautiful city. They call the city of the Eternal Spring. And I met two missionary families there, the Patterson family and the Shandell family. And I saw what the work that they were doing there amongst the people there in Cuernavaca. And God broke my heart. He said, Lewis, He said, these American missionaries, they've given of their life. They've left their home. They left the country. And you are Mexican. You speak the language, you know the culture, and God used the life of those missionaries to speak to me. To tell me, Lewis, you are a debtor. We are a debtor to Jesus Christ. We are a debtor to all that He has given us. And you know, we need to realize that He is worthy to be served. And because we love Him and we have a debt to pay, we need to invest our lives and serve them faithfully. Look with me, please, real quickly, in the book of Luke, chapter 7, please. Luke, chapter 7. We have a beautiful story here. Christ was in a home of a Pharisee named Simon, and there was a woman when Christ came to the home, this woman walked into the home, and she took an alabaster box of ointment, and she anointed Jesus, and she was weeping, and with her tears, and she was kissing his feet, and with her hands in her head, she was wiping the tears from her head. The Bible says that this Pharisee became very indignant and judgmental. And Jesus said to him in verse 44, and turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with the oil thou dost not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Let me ask you, how much do you love Him today? You know, and I've seen this, Pastor Johnson, I'm sure you've seen it in your ministry, men and women who were saved out of deep sin. When they get saved, there's a brother in our church named Roberto. Man, he is on fire for God. For the last 3.5 years, he's just been just unbelievable, unbelievable. But you know, he was saved from a life of alcoholism, a life of adultery, a life of wretched living. And he's in love with God. And yet, some of our own in our churches who grew up in a Christian home and who grew up with Christian parents seem to serve Him little because they love Him little. They don't understand that the same price that was paid for men who lived in wicked sin was paid for us. And as I was a teenager, I was 20 years old, God broke my heart because I never drank and I never smoked and I was a virgin and I tried to do right and I did not appreciate my salvation. But when one day a young man said, Lewis, he said, as he was preaching, yes, I was a wicked man and I was a druggie and I was a gang member, but you know, the same Savior that saved me saved you, and the same price that was paid for me was paid for you. And the same hell that you would have gone to, I would have gone to too. And my brother and my sister, we have a debt to pay. He loved us. He saved us. We need to serve Him because of the debt we have. But please continue with me there in Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Look with me there in verse 2. If thou buy in Hebrew, servant, 6 years he shall serve thee, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. And then it says in verse 5, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. See, we people who serve the Lord because they love Him have made a decision to serve Him. It's a decision based upon love, based upon what our Savior has done for us. And every Christian needs to say, Lord, here is my life, Lord. Lord, here are my talents, Lord. I decide to live for You, to honor You, to glorify, to serve You, to be used of You. We need to make a decision. Third of all, please look with me in verse 3. And if he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master had given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and the children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. This passage teaches a third truth. Everything that the servant received while he was serving there was his master's. And as he was faced with this decision to leave or to stay in service, serve his master, he realized everything I have, everything I own came from my master. Third of all, we need to serve him because we are grateful. Bob Jones Sr. said, if a man has lost his gratefulness, he has lost everything. We so easily get accustomed to the blessings of God. This morning, as I was meditating upon this passage of Scripture, God, again, this morning, showed me, Lewis, you're so unworthy of all that I have done for you. You know, we get so used to the blessings of God. God has given me a wonderful family and wonderful wife, and this morning I was thanking the Lord for my children. And I was thanking the Lord for the ministry He's given me, and for the opportunity to serve Him in the greatest time in history. And in the country of Mexico, the doors are open and people are being saved. And I said, Lord, thank you for the privilege that you've given me to be able to have a little part in what you're doing in the country of Mexico. God has been so good to us, and we have health, and we have homes, and we have the opportunity to live for God. We need to serve Him because we are grateful for what He has done for us. Look with me, please, in the book of Deuteronomy, real quickly, please. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. All we have has come from Him. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10. I just want to read this passage of Scripture. See, I don't write my message homiletically. I just read a while and preach and yell a while and read a while. That's all I do, amen. But Deuteronomy 6, please, in verse 10, the Bible says, And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten in before, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and shalt swear by His name. Let me ask you this morning, are you grateful? That's all of grace. It's all of grace. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from the Father of lights, in which there is no variables, no changing or variable. We have a great God. Fourth of all, please look with me. Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21. Verse 6. Then his master shall bring him out, shall bring him unto the judges, and he shall bring him to the door unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through an owl, and he shall serve him forever. This is, as I looked at this several weeks ago, I had never noticed that it's the master who takes him to the elders. It's the master who bores his ear. The master. See, we see fourth of all, the servant was approved of his master. The servant was approved of his master. My, you know, brother and sister, young person, there is no greater privilege upon earth than to be used of God. There really isn't. To be a servant, to be an instrument in the hands of God. See, the servant decided, yes, I want to stay. But the master could have said, no, you can go ahead and go on your life. I don't need you. But the Bible says here that the master would take the servant and he would take him and he would bore his ear with an owl. And see, my brother, my sister, we need to live such lives that we are approved. Servants that are approved by the master. That he may use us. Use your voice and use your hands and use your feet and use your home for the glory of God. See, when you live your life for things and you live your life for the approval of men and to be used and to use your life in this world, it will come to naught. It will be nothing. But when you give your life to say, Lord, use me. What a blessing, what a privilege to be used of God. Every Christian needs to be a servant approved of God. There in the book of 2nd, real quickly, 1st Thessalonians chapter 2. Every Christian needs to live a life that is approved of God. That God may use, that God may bless with His power, that God may give grace upon grace, that He may be useful in the hands of the Master. There in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2, Paul said the following. He says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the hearts. He says, I was allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And my brother, my sister, all of us have been entrusted with the gospel. And all of us have been given the opportunity to be able to use the gospel to reach souls, to serve the Lord. But we must be approved for God to use us. 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 15, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every Christian needs to serve God. Every Christian needs to be a servant. Every Christian needs to take the word of God and teach it to others, teach it to his family, and be a blessing, an instrument in the hand of God. All of us need to be approved. But look with me again in Exodus, please, chapter 21. Again, the master brings his servant to the judges. And in verse 6, the Bible says, the master himself bore his ear, the ear of the servant. Fifth of all, the servant is touched by the master. Is touched by the master. Sometimes the master's touch is a touch of brokenness. Sometimes he allows his servants to be afflicted, to go through the furnace of affliction. I'm glad I'm not a girl. Amen. To take and pierce your ears, I think it's terrible. I imagine as they bore a hole through the ear, I'm sure it caused some pain. I'm saying is this tonight, this morning, to be touched by the Master. The Master is saying, He is my servant. What a blessing to be touched by the Master. To have His hand upon your life. To have His hand upon your family. Have His hand as you serve Him in this local church. And Brother Johnson, I'm sure you're the same as I am. I want our church to be filled with men who walk with God. Ladies who walk with God, who love God,
whom the hand of God is upon their lives. We need the Master's touch today. We just serve Him. But lastly, we see here, the Bible says of the latter part of verse 6, and He shall serve Him forever. We see the servant's commitment. Not only does the Master touch him, says, He is my servant, but the servant says, I am His servant. Commitment. Dedication. Faithfulness. Consecration. Commitment to the Master. A Christian gentleman, Southern, who's driving through a town in the 1850s, and he drove through a place where they were having an auction, a slave auction. And as he drove by, he noticed the line of Negro slaves who were lined up to be sold. And his heart was touched, and he stopped just to view the auction. As he saw the auction, as he saw the Negroes in line ready to be sold, he looked at a young lady, must have been 14, 15 years old, but noticed that she was a very beautiful young lady. And he saw her trembling there, shaking, crying, and his heart was moved. And he stared at her, would not take his eyes off of her. He was an elderly man. The slave girl looked at that man. She noticed him looking at her, and she, in her heart, started getting upset at this man. When it came her turn to be sold at the auction block, this gentleman had no plans to do so, but this gentleman moved up and began to offer to buy her. This young lady got more and more mad and upset, and as he won the bid, she was taken to him, and when she came to him, she fell at his feet and began to hit the dirt and began to yell and scream. She said, "I will not serve you. You're just a wicked man." And she started yelling at him, and he took the paperwork and he signed some things, and he called a man to come and take the chains off of her legs and off of her hands, and he took the girl and set her up, and he said, "Young lady," he said, "here's a title, you would call it, whatever, a possession." She said, "Here." He said, "Here, it's yours. You can go." She looked at him and she said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I have given you freedom. I bought you to give you freedom." He turned around and began to walk towards his horse and buggy. And she ran behind him and fell at his feet. And she says, "Sir, now I desire to serve you the rest of your life." You know, my brother, my sister, we have a wonderful Savior who paid it all on the cross of Calvary. And He's worthy to serve. And He's worthy to honor. Do you love Him enough to serve Him the rest of your life? Heavenly Father, we want to thank You today for Jesus, who's worthy to serve. Thank You for the price that was paid. Thank You for salvation. Thank You that You've given us an opportunity in this life to invest it in Your glory, to live for You, to honor You. Lord Jesus, may we serve You out of love. Bless this wonderful church. We pray this in Your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.